We're going to do part 11B. What we're going to do now, everyone turn to page 197. Look at the blank space you have at the bottom of page 197. Take out your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to use this blank page. At the bottom of page 197, you're going to have to write a lot here. So don't write very large. This is what you're going to do. Let me show you ahead of time before you start writing. We're going to look at Acts 2, 1 Peter 3, Romans 6, 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 3, Acts 22, Acts 16, and Colossians 2. And all of these notes are going to be on page 197. So turn to Acts chapter 2 first. And let's look at baptism on the day of Pentecost. And what we're going to do, since we've already laid the groundwork about what baptism is, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at these actual texts that talk about baptism. And, Vicar, would you happen to have a AAA battery in your office, possibly? Can you go get a AAA? This one's about to run out. It just needs one AAA battery. Thank you. Acts chapter 2, look at the first 13 verses. This we'll look here before we write. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, and they're all together. Verse 2, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Verse 3, tongues of fire appear in their heads. Verse 4, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they speak in other tongues, other languages. Go to the next page. In Acts chapter 2, on page 910 in your Bible. Now, they're dwelling in Jerusalem. There's people from every nation under heaven. The sound of the multitude, they were bewildered. Each one hears them speaking in his own language. When we looked at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we looked at this, how it's a reversal. Remember, it was a reversal of the Tower of Babel. Remember that? Pentecost reverses the Tower of Babel. They're all coming together now under the one language of the gospel. And now the gospel is being preached in all these different languages. Then, from verses 14 to 36, Peter preaches a sermon. And he preaches this sermon that has both law and gospel in it. We're not going to read the whole sermon. We don't have time. Where he says, "You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. We are eyewitnesses of this. And now in him there is forgiveness of sins preached." He preaches this sermon. Remember I told you this when we talked about the Holy Spirit, about how look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Take a man who had just recently denied Christ. He preaches one sermon and 3,000 people come to faith, showing the power of the Holy Spirit. But jump down to verse 37. Here's the power of baptism. Mitch, you want to read? Could you read verses 37 through 41? Acts 2, 37 through 41.
Sure. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words,
he
bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation."
The shelf up at the top.
So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Forgiveness of sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children. And save yourself from this crooked generation. Now on page 197, just write Acts 2. Write all these things down that is said here about baptism. Repent, be baptized. The name of Jesus, Trinitarian symbol. Forgiveness of sins. Receive the Holy Spirit. The gift and promises to you and to your children. All of this is said in Acts chapter 2 here concerning God's work, what God does. And even repentance is worked, our ability to repent, and a child's ability to repent
It is a work of the Holy Spirit. So here we see the groundwork laid through water, baptism, forgiveness, gift of the Holy Spirit. It's also for our children.
When you're done writing that, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. So as soon as you're done writing that, and I'm going to write the verses on here. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22. And this is on page 1016 in your Bible. Turn to page 1016.
Now write 1 Peter 3,
that's 18 through 22. We just looked at what it says about baptism in Acts 2. Now let's look at 1 Peter 3. 18 through 22 on page 1016. Anybody feel like reading that for us? 18 through 22. Mitch, read again.
For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him.
Now write 1 Peter 3.
I'm going to run the log reads.
Even in that, you know, there's no AAA.
Look in the drawer of Nancy.
Sorry about this. If you look in the counter there by Nancy's desk, you know, there might be some in there.
I looked at some of them.
Don't worry about it. Okay. Look at what is said here about baptism. Baptism saves you. Write that. That is a comparison between the ark and the water of Noah's day. Then there is also baptismal picture here that in baptism you come into the church through the water. You have a good conscience, and you are cleansed. And the connection to the flood also is the fact that there were eight people in the ark. And one thing we're going to talk about at the end of class is the concept of the eighth day. But I'll wait till we get to that end of class here. And what this picture is giving us here is, just as through the water, by climbing into the ark, Noah and eight people were saved, so in baptism, through the water of baptism, we are brought into the ark of the church. And somewhere here on this page, put this picture. This is a Pastor Aaron special here. Okay. Put a picture of you and make the name of the church. This is just Trinity Lutheran's sanctuary. Put A for the altar. This is the communion rail. Put a circle here, B for the baptismal pot, and then P here for the pulpit. And then put nave and the pews. The word nave, the place where we sit in the sanctuary, is the word nav or navis in Latin for boat. You are sitting in the boat, if you will. In your baptism, you come into the boat, into the ark of the church. So put the ark. The church is our ark, our name, our boat. The way you get in that is through your baptism. And I have a sailboat, and my sailboat up at the front of the boat, this is actually called the pulpit of the boat. The word pulpit actually is a nautical term. There's a lot of nautical terms used in Christianity. Two of them right here. Nave, for boat where we're sitting.
pulpit, which is the head of the boat, the front of the boat, where the captain can give directions. And the captain, the pastor who's preaching the sermon, is directing the people in the boat to sail this boat into heaven. And the reason why a lot of baptismal fonts are an octagon, and when we close tonight, we're going to look at our stone baptismal font, which many of our older members in the church were baptized in that stone font in the narthex. You know, when you come to church on Sunday morning, there's a stone baptismal font right there. We're going to take a look at that before we leave. That's an octagon. It has eight sides. Do you know the reason why they have eight sides? Because it mirrors the fact that there were eight people in the ark. There were eight people in the ark. Noah and his family climbed into the boat, the ark. You and your baptism climb into the boat with the church, the ark. And the eight-sided octagon font reminds us of that. And by the way, I haven't even gotten into the concept of the eighth day in the Bible. I'll just give you a little taste of this. Babies were circumcised when they were 8 days old. The day of Christ's resurrection was also the eighth day, because he was crucified and died on a Friday. On the seventh day, he rested in the tomb. And even though Sunday is the first day of the week, it's also the eighth day. It's the day after the seventh day. The number eight is a significant number in the New Testament, and we'll look at that a little bit more. But here, in Peter's epistle, he's comparing your baptism to climbing into the ark and being saved like Noah and his family. Now look at Romans 6. Everybody write Romans 6. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6. The reason we're doing this is because when you look at these passages, you'll be convinced and you'll be able to see about the amazing things that are said about our baptism. These passages are telling us what God is doing to us in baptism, not what we're doing for Him. Romans chapter 6 is on page 942. And really, it's on your study sheet. Write Romans 6, 1 through 11. Oh, we could write the whole chapter. It really is the whole chapter, but for our purposes, Romans 6, 1 through 11. And since the vicar is here, did you read that for us, vicar? You got that?
Yep. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in the resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
On your page 197 there now, right, in Romans 6, we're baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into His death, into His burial, and to His resurrection. There's a mystery here, and we call this the mystical union. There is something amazing that happens when someone is baptized. When a person is baptized, they are baptized into Christ Jesus. They become a part of the body of Christ. In fact, the church is called the body of Christ, and He is the head. Remember, we said that God does extraordinary things through ordinary means. It doesn't look like much. An unbeliever comes in, sees a little bit of water, sees someone being baptized in the name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God, through this means, connects us to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. There's a mystical union, so that we die with Christ and we live with Him. So that when we looked at the page
52 in your booklet,
that the new man comes forth and the old Adam is drowned. We said that you can do this, you can fight this battle between the saint and sinner part of you, because in your new man, you have died with Christ, been buried with Him, and you are raised with Him.
So again, you see, amazing things are said about your baptism.
Now, write 1 Corinthians 6.
Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here we want to look at verses 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 on page 955. You have that, Judy? You want to read that?
And such work.
That's
such
it.
Some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God.
Write these words down concerning baptism. You were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified.
And right before the verses that Judy read, he's describing the life of the Corinthians before they were baptized Christians. Right before that, in 9 and 10, they were deceived, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Such some of you were. But now, as baptized Christians, they've been washed, justified, sanctified. So their whole life has been transformed because they are now baptized Christians. And now they can fight that battle of the sin of the new man against the old Adam. Now, write Galatians 3. And let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians 3.